This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, June 4th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Regulations and costs stack up. Primary ballots trickle in. New rural screwworm found in Texas. California agriculture leaders say growers are facing a punishing mix of regulatory costs, global competition, market pressures, while looking to technology and stronger advocacy to stay competitive. Speaking during the AgriPulse Food and Ag Issues Summit panel this week, Chris Zanabini, President and CEO of Ag Association Management Services, compared the state's regulatory climate to playing a regulatory Jenga where you never run out of pieces. He pointed to challenging economics and low-priced imports overlapping with California production seasons. Emily Rooney, president of the Agricultural Council of California, said packaging rules, labor costs, energy, and insurance are among the top pressures on food processors and growers. She warned the state's single-use packaging law will bring great costs while alternatives remain limited. Ian LeMay, president and CEO of the California Table Grape Commission, said there is, quote, no higher priority than import competition with Peru and Mexico moving into California's traditional market window and China increasingly competing in Asian export markets. He said establishing a vineyard in Chile can cost about $12,800 an acre compared to $40,000 or $50,000 in California. Robert Verloop, CEO of the California Walnut Commission, said the walnut sector cannot simply keep cost-cutting its way back to profitability. The industry, he said, must build demand by repositioning walnuts as a healthy plant-based food. Panelists also pointed to automation, AI, and farm tours for lawmakers as ways to improve efficiency and build understanding in an increasingly urban state. You can read the full story at agripulse.com. California's post-primary ballot count is setting up a week of anxious watching in several races. Former Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra and Republican Steve Hilton, currently holding the two November slots in the governor's race as billionaire Tom Steyer trails in third. Unofficial results posted yesterday show Hilton at 28%, Becerra at 25%, and Steyer at 20%, while Katie Porter, San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan, and former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villagrosa have conceded. In the Central Valley, Republican Representative David Valadao appears safely headed to November, but the Democrat advancing with him remains unsettled. Randy Villegas led Assemblymember Jasmine Baines 30% to 26% in early returns. State Senate District 4 also bears watching, with Democrat Jaron Brandon leading and Republican Alexandra Duarte ahead of incumbent Senator Marie Alvarado Gill, who switched parties in 2024. Assembly GOP leader Heath Flora, who lost backing from local Republican committees, remained ahead in Assembly District 9, but faces a more competitive November after drawing only 30% in the primary. The insurance commissioner race remains tight for the second slot, with Jane Kim leading Ben Allen narrowly ahead of Republican Stacey Korsgaden. A case of New World screwworm has been found in a three-week-old South Texas calf, according to USDA officials yesterday. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins told reporters on a press call that the agency is establishing quarantines, movement controls, and surveillance in a 20-kilometer zone around the detection site near La Pryor, Texas. She said it would immediately be deploying 4 million sterile flies to the area through ground release chambers, in addition to the 4 million sterile flies it already drops aerially over the region each week. It's the only U.S. case of the flesh-eating pest the agency is tracking right now, and only one that has been confirmed, Rollins said. The House is poised to vote today on an agriculture and FDA funding bill that backers say ensures critical investments in research, rural development, and the health of plants and animals. Total discretionary allocation for the fiscal 27 legislative package, which also includes the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, $26.3 billion, that's 1.4% below the 2026 enacted level, according to House appropriators. House Rules Committee on Tuesday teed up the bill for a full vote on the chamber floor. Massachusetts Representative Jim McGovern, the panel's top Democrat, assailed the legislation for cutting food aid programs, including for women, infants, and children. McGovern said this bill also cuts conservation, rural development, clean water, broadband, energy, and small business support. It slashes Food for Peace, a life-saving program that feeds people facing famine all around the world and supports American farmers here at home. The legislation's amendments include a measure that would bar the USDA's National Institute for Food and Agriculture from funding painful research on dogs and cats. Another calls to transfer $2 million from the USDA Chief Information Officer to APHIS Port of Entry Inspections for New World Screwworm. The American Farm Bureau Federation's biannual Advocate, Cultivate, and Empower Summit for Women in Agriculture wrapped up yesterday after 3 days of networking, leadership, and education for about 500 attendees. This year's summit highlighted the International Year of the Woman Farmer. Kathy Burns, CEO of the International Fresh Produce Association, said, "I know it fills my cup so much to be at gatherings like this among people who are positive and innovative and trying to learn more and to grow and do better always." The results for the National Women in Agriculture Study were also debuted yesterday morning at a conference session. Here's today's final word. This refresh is about showing up in a more modern, relevant way. That's Maya Irwin, Vice President of Marketing and Innovation at Blue Diamond, announcing a major brand refresh now rolling out on shelves nationwide. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, June 4th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Allen.